morning to you. I think everybody's in and out of the room, so you may proceed.
Good morning. My name is Mike Cook. I represent the appellate Amy Freeman. I want to thank this court for the privilege and honor of allowing me to appear on behalf of Ms. Freeman here today. This case, and a review of the record below, I think clearly indicates that instead of following the directives of this court expressed in Saberson and subsequently in King, where we're trying to exclude junk science, the application applied by the district court resulted in the striking of expert testimony, perhaps one of the most world-renowned experts in molecular biology. I'm specifically referring to Dr. David Sacker. The record below indicates that Dr. Sacker is not your typical expert witness, and I think it's important for the court to take that into account. Dr. Sacker is not only the director emeritus at Mount Sinai, one of the leading institutes in the world on inflammatory bowel disease. He has received almost every award there is in the United States for inflammatory bowel disease and the treatment of inflammatory bowel disease. Our government thought enough of him to appoint him as the chair of the FDA Advisory Committee on Gastroenterology over a period of time. He has published over 260 peer-reviewed articles on inflammatory bowel disease, both ulcerative colitis and Crohn's disease. He is the senior author in the American College of Gastroenterology's book, Guidelines for the Treatment of Ulcerative Colitis. He has spoken around the world on inflammatory bowel disease, both Crohn's disease and ulcerative colitis. He has served as a peer reviewer on almost every major inflammatory bowel disease article or journal there is in this country. In fact, Dr. Sacker's career started early when he, one of the most recognized medical journals, Lancet, recognized Dr. Sacker and his team for the treatment of cholera. That result, one of the greatest, what they call, Lancet called one of the greatest modern inventions in modern medical history. That's estimated to save 2 million lives annually a year. So I point that out to the court just to let this court know exactly the type of expert we're dealing with. And when we look at Dr. Shaver, it's designed to keep out junk science. Dr. Sacker is not participating in promotion of science. Dr. Sacker testified below that he went through the same methodology that he's gone through for over 40 years, the Bradford Hill analysis, which this court has recognized both in Shaverson and also in the King case. He talked about how he went through the animal studies. He looked at the class effect. He studied biological plausibility. He went through a dose relationship, the clinical trials of this drug.
What did the district court find was lacking with Mr. Sacker's potential testimony?
The district court focused in on epidemiology. And as this court pointed out in the King case, there's different types of epidemiology. There's the gold standard, which are clinical trials, which we don't have in this case. And then we have what's called observational studies, which are counting studies. And as this court pointed out in King, there are problems with epidemiological studies that are observational in nature. You have to look at certain factors. And Dr. Sacker went through painstakingly each one of the epidemiological studies that were available, these observational studies, and pointed out what the problems were, how they were underpowered. That is, they were designed when these studies were...
Is it correct to say that generally those studies all were contrary to what Dr. Sacker would testify to?
No. It would not. In fact, in the record, you will see in this court has acknowledged that when you look at two things, you look at point estimate or you look at confidence interval. And when you study a confidence interval and an observation study, there's a range of variables of where the results could fall. And in each one of the studies related specifically to Crohn's disease, you have point estimates. Here in the Bernstein, you have a point estimate of 0.61 on one end, all the way up to 2.02. So it's somewhere in there. You have in the Crockett study, you have a point estimate as high as 1.68, a 68% increased risk. In the Al-Hussein study, 1.52, a 52% increased risk. Aptamer, a 2.25 on the one end, could be as high as 125% increased risk. All the way up to Suvarman, which was 28 times, but when they adjusted for antibiotics, which Dr. Sacker criticized, why would you adjust for antibiotics when everybody takes antibiotics and takes Anazac? 28 times. So Dr. Sacker went through each of these studies as it relates to Crohn's disease and why he found problems with it. Not only were they underpowered, that is, they were originally designed not to find the answer. They were designed...
Were there any such studies that backed Dr. Sacker?
I think these studies do back him, because as this court pointed out in King, when the confidence intervals, when there's a small possible association, then it's left to the trier of fact to determine the significance of that. And so these studies, the argument is these studies don't support. But Dr. Sacker is, well, you've got these associations, they're small, but they're moving in the right direction. And as this court noted in King, you don't just focus in on one aspect, you look at the totality of the evidence. And Dr. Sacker has been studying Accutane and inflammatory bowel disease, both ulcerative colitis and Crohn's disease, for two decades. And he's gone through and spent over 1,000 hours going through their documents. The interesting thing on an epidemiological study is, as this court pointed out, an epidemiological study can either prove or disprove causation. It can only show an association. Roche, in their internal documents, admits there's an association, a causal association. The document I'm specifically referring to is signed off by their global head of drug safety, Dr. Martin Huber. They admit it. Yet, because of these studies now, they now have spun this where we've got to argue about an association. Their very label on this drug says Accutane is associated with inflammatory bowel disease. Their label. So, Your Honors, and Dr. Sacker is not here by himself. He's not an island unto himself. There's plenty of med lit out there that's in the record that support Dr. Sacker's opinions. Inflammatory bowel disease and isotretinoin caused by isotretinoin. Other articles we presented over, I think, 10 articles or 10 med lit articles that address the significance of Accutane causing inflammatory bowel disease.
Are there similar cases around the United States?
Yes, Your Honor. In New Jersey, which we're actively involved, there are several thousand cases in New Jersey. And on 9 separate occasions, with 9 separate juries, Dr. Sacker has testified. And in each of those cases, every jury has returned a verdict finding that Accutane does in fact cause inflammatory bowel disease and that there's a problem with the label.
Yeah, can you remind us what Brown contributed to this discussion?
Yes, Dr. Brown, he's a GI, but he also has a master's in epidemiology. And what Dr. Brown did, he wanted to make sure that there was an epidemiologist who could specifically say these studies were underpowered. Dr. Sacker has looked at the studies for years. He said, I can look at them and tell they're underpowered, but Dr. Brown was able to come in and say these studies were underpowered, not designed to pick up the issue. Another thing as it relates to Crohn's disease, has what's called a prodrome. It takes anywhere from 2 to 7 years in most instances to have a diagnosis and burn of Crohn's disease. And a lot of these studies only look back 1 year, therefore you wouldn't pick up the Crohn's disease.
So those studies would not have associated the onset, which may have presented in a different manner.
They would not. I'd like to reserve the rest of my time.
Thank you very much. Mr. Schmidt?
Yes, sir.
Good morning to you.
Good morning to you. Paul Schmidt for the Roche Appellees. I joined in saying it's an honor to appear before the court, and I appreciate that opportunity. The argument that we just heard from appellants asks this court to discard nearly two decades of jurisprudence on gatekeeping by saying not just was it error for the district court to hold a hearing, listen to Dr. Sacker, carefully document internal inconsistencies, internal incoherencies in his methodology, but it's an abuse of discretion to to do that. In the appellant's view, if they produce someone who they can describe as a world-renowned expert in this area, there is no functional methodological review, and nearly two decades of this court's jurisprudence stand in opposition to that proposition. This court's jurisprudence, we believe, directs the district courts to do exactly what the district court did here, to carefully hear the evidence, to look at the studies, to look at the gap between what Dr. Sacker is relying on and what he is claiming, and to make findings on his methodology, which is what the district court did here, and I'll focus on two of those, two that were key to the district court. The first is the argument that Dr. Sacker made that in a patient involving Crohn's disease study data is worthless. That was his word. In a case involving Crohn's disease and a Crohn's disease patient, Crohn's disease study data is worthless. This court in the King decision said an expert must follow an accepted scientific method or procedure as is practiced by others in the field. The district court found no one outside of Dr. Sacker in a courtroom, including Dr. Sacker himself, has ever stated that view, that Crohn's disease study data is worthless in a patient who has Crohn's disease. And that leads to the second point I'll touch on, which is the court's finding that Dr. Sacker rejected his own rule when it came to other forms of evidence. When it came to the studies that were uniformly against him, he adopted this rule. Crohn's disease study data is worthless. When it came to the other forms of data, he discarded his own rule, and the court rightly found that was improper, including in line with decisions like the Carlson decision, which directs district courts to ensure that an expert, quote, has applied the methodology in a reliable way.
Did he make a distinction in terms of methodology amongst the different studies?
He didn't, not in terms of his argument for saying I can reject all the study data, but I can still rely on other forms of data that are subject to the exact same criticism. He never offered, and that was a point, and this is where I think abuse of discretion comes into play, that was a point that on several occasions the district court had the opportunity to ask him questions on that point, to ask him to explain his methodology on that point. And his methodology on that point came down to, well, if it doesn't find an effect, I can discard it, but if I think it does find an effect, I can ignore my own rule and embrace that line of evidence. So in terms of the two arguments, first the argument that he came up with this rule that Crohn's disease study data does not matter in a Crohn's disease case. There's no dispute that this is a Crohn's disease case. There's no dispute that every Crohn's disease study is unanimous in finding no effect, and the court need only look at the studies to see the gap between what scientists in the real world are doing and what Dr. Sacker is claiming in court. In the same way, there's no dispute that the overall IBD studies find no link between Accutane and overall IBD, or that Crohn's disease is one of the two principal forms of IBD. What Dr. Sacker did, and his language in doing this is as telling as his methodology in doing this, what Dr. Sacker said is all those studies are, in his words, quote, worthless information. It would just really waste the time of the court. They have no relevance whatsoever. Those aren't the words of a scientist. Those are the words of an advocate. His reasoning for doing that, which is what the methodological focus hinges on, which is what the district court looked at, is something that no one outside of the courtroom has ever accepted. Not the peer-reviewed scientific literature on Accutane, not the peer-reviewed scientific literature on other causes of Crohn's disease. Dr. Sacker acknowledged both of those points. Not even Dr. Sacker's own publications, and that's a critical point. We just heard how he's been studying this issue for nearly two decades. He's gotten over 260 articles. Not one of those articles makes the point that he asked the district court to accept, that Crohn's disease study data is worthless in a case involving a patient who has Crohn's disease. In fact, his only publications that come close to this topic don't mention Accutane as a cause of Crohn's disease and don't draw the distinction that he drew in court between different types of Crohn's disease where he says it's not Crohn's of the colon, it's not Crohn's colitis, you can't group it together. In fact, there's record evidence that he did exactly the opposite of that in a publication. So he's literally asking the court, the district court, and now the Supreme Court, to let him do something that no one in the scientific world does, which is the reason why gatekeeping exists. And that's where Dr. Brown was so important. Dr. Brown even disagreed with Dr. Sacker, which is something pretty unusual in litigation. It's not surprising that our expert disagreed with Dr. Sacker. But his own
reference, I think, a couple of times to abuse of discretion, is that the standard?
It is, Your Honor, and I think this case illustrates why. When the district court held a careful, I think it was a 4 or 5 day hearing on this issue, heard from three different experts, including a plaintiff's expert who disagreed with Dr. Sacker's core methodology, who said, of course you look at Crohn's disease studies in considering causation in a Crohn's disease case. Of course you consider all the evidence. The light year gap between that, which is in line with the rest of the scientific world, and Dr. Sacker saying they're so worthless, they're a waste of time for the court, they're completely irrelevant to the question at issue.
Did you feel, or are you saying that Brown was inconsistent?
No.
Or contra, or different from Sacker's?
I apologize, Your Honor. He directly contradicted Dr. Sacker on this key methodological point, which is, do you look to the Crohn's disease studies in a Crohn's disease case? His testimony was that you do look to them. That's part of the evidence. In fact, he said it's the best available means of exploring Accutane and IBD, and that's heartland in line with the rest of the scientific world. It's even in line with what Dr. Sacker did in this case in terms of the other lines of evidence, and that's...
Well, simplify this for me.
Of course, Your Honor.
Brown favorable to the plaintiffs?
Dr. Brown did not give a causation opinion, which is telling. He attempted to make power criticism of the studies that we heard, although, as the district court noted in her decision, he made errors in his math in calculating it. Dr. Sacker didn't rely on those calculations. He just made a guess, and he admitted he made a guess about the power of the studies, which itself is a pretty strong indicator of the reliability of his methodology.
And on a statistical basis?
On a looking at the study, and I think this is too small basis. Dr. Brown attempted to
so
do it on
a statistical approach, says not enough there.
Dr. Brown attempted to do that. Dr. Sacker did not rely on Dr. Brown. He made his own guess without doing the same kind of statistical approach. And that brings me to the second issue with Dr. Sacker, which I'll use for my few remaining minutes, which is he himself rejected his own rule when it came to other forms of evidence. So for the studies, the best evidence, he says if they don't focus on Crohn's colitis, they're worthless. General Crohn's disease is worthless. General IBD is worthless. When it came to other forms of evidence, including the evidence we just heard about, MedLit articles, company documents, then his testimony was he could use anything at all. His own rule, he contradicted his own rule. And there's a reason that he contradicted his own rule, because the only way in the face of this science, where I think it's undisputed from the briefing, that following the studies, not one independent scientist has concluded that there is a link. In the face of that science, the only way he can address the science is to say that I'll come up with an argument that no one accepts outside of court, including myself, in my published works, in my 260 published works. And I'll use that argument to argue away the studies, but I'll then discard that argument for every other line of evidence, because if I applied that argument faithfully in a methodologically sound manner, there would be nothing left for him to rely on. And that was true with every line of his evidence.
How do you address the New Jersey cases?
The New Jersey cases favor us. Dr. Sacker has been excluded in the latest New Jersey case, the only one that deals with the full scientific record as it exists today, and the plaintiffs have appealed that decision. In terms of the decision that they relied on, the Crohn's disease decision, that actually involved a different expert than Dr. Sacker. They embraced that very heavily in their briefs because it came out their way in front of the intermediate New Jersey appellate court. We're going to have argument before the New Jersey Supreme Court at the end of the month, so that gives them no support. What's notable to us from the New Jersey precedent is that the other trial court that has looked at Dr. Sacker, heard from Dr. Sacker, a decision that is on appeal but has not been reversed, reached strikingly similar conclusions to what the district court here reached, that he doesn't apply a consistent methodology, that he says things in court that not only other scientists don't say in court, but that he doesn't say outside of court, and that he's not following a reliable practice. As to the jury verdicts, there's not a jury verdict from that plaintiffs have received that has withstood appellate review in New Jersey. So to rely on jury verdicts that have not withstood appellate review, including on evidentiary issues that go to causation, including on an earlier scientific record when the full set of studies did not exist, in our view that's not appropriate. If we're going to look to other jurisdictions, I would suggest looking to the MDL, which is federal cases, which have consistently rejected this type of methodology in Accutane cases, and to the New Jersey, the recent one, case involving Dr. Sacker.
Pardon me, where are the MDLs consolidated?
They no longer exist because of the Daubert ruling. They were consolidated in the Middle District of Florida. I see I'm out of time. This case is why gatekeeping exists. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Do we have time for rebuttal? 1 minute.
I'll go quickly. Mr. Schmitz made representations regarding what's happened in New Jersey. The fact of the matter is the Crohn's decision, which was the basis that they submitted to the district court, that was reversed by the appellate court, found the cherry picking and references made totally.
Is that the Court of Appeals?
That's the Court of Appeals. The same judge, the successor trial court judge who dismissed Dr. Sacker, that was the same judge who dismissed the Crohn's cases and who was reversed recently in an 85-page opinion. Dr. Sackar has
visited. You appealed that. We have appealed.
And the New Jersey, we've appealed that to the appellate court, and the appellate court stayed all proceedings based upon the New Jersey Supreme Court taking the Crohn's decision. So the MDL was in 2004, 2005, in that time period. Dr. Sackar never testified in the MDL, so that was not there. The other thing, I never heard any comment from Roche about their own internal documents that show causation or show association or in their label. They leave that alone because that's what the issue is.
But counsel, that evidence would come in with or without your expert, evidence of their of what they put on their label. That evidence isn't excluded by the judge's order here.
Yeah. Well, the fact, Your Honor, is I think that those are admissions. But that also bolsters when an expert goes through his Radford Hill analysis and finds conclusions within the company vault. So those were not public documents. Those were documents hidden in the company vault that we've got. Those documents show they internally concluded a cause and effect relationship. Specifically state that. Frankly, I've always felt, why do you need expert testimony? Because you've got it in admission. But we present expert testimony. We present it through the most direct.
Does the existence of those documents put facts in dispute?
Only from their standpoint, because causation and certainly association has never been an issue until they raised it recently with these so-called studies that have fingerprints on them. So thank you again for allowing me to appear before this honorable court.
Thank you very much. We will go on to the next case of the day, which is State versus Antonio Leon Simon.